This is the Mike Shamari Show. The last time we spoke to my guest today, he was in Hawaii. Today he's back in the lower 48 and ready for another interview. His latest album is Departure. Please welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show pianist and keyboardist Dan Siegel.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Hi, Dan. And I didn't have to wait about 10 seconds for a response last time.
You know, I remember that interview, and I wish I was in Hawaii right now. It's kind of hot here in the L.A. area.
Oh, well, it's actually pretty hot here, too, and humid as well.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe when this airs on the 30th, it'll still be that way.
The end of the world.
I don't want to think like that.
No, nor do I, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what have you been up to since we last spoke over a year ago?
Well, let's see. I've been busy doing a lot of different things, but I finished the most recent record in, I guess we finished in about February this year, and it was a quick record, just the nature of it, because it was sort of organic and acoustic, so we started recording, I think, about the 17th of December, and we were done in mixing and mastering, I think, in February, and, you know, it was a different kind of a record. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and it's funny, but, you know, the way the state of the music business is, like, everything has to have a lot of bells and whistles and, or, you know, have a lot of covers or this or that, and I said, you know, I just want to make a record with music organic and go in with great players and just do it. And you know, most the record companies that I talk to are sort of like hesitant and to subsidize that kind of a project. So I just did it on my own. And it's kind of something that I've wanted to do. And so sometimes you just have to, you know, just kind of follow your own lead and just, you know, do it. And you know, I'm happy with the outcome, and the response has been really good and positive, and so yeah, all is well, I guess.
Well, wonderful. And I'll tell you what has happened on my end since we last spoke. I've actually interviewed a couple of people that you've worked with over the years. In January, we spoke to Jeff Koshua.
Yeah, I've known Jeff forever. We've had, in fact, boy, you know, he was in my band for. It's a funny thing, but there's a lot of guys that have gone on to, you know, create names for themselves have, at one point or another, played in my band. Not to say that, you know, not everybody has, but when I think of sax players, I think of guys like Boney and Jeff, who were in my band. Richard Elliott years ago. You know, I mean, everybody, a lot of guys that have gone on to do things. But Jeff, boy, he's a load of laughs. A funny guy, and... I've got some stories, of course, that I can't tell and share with you on the radio, but we've had some fun in the old days on the road.
Well, maybe after the interview you can tell me all about it.
There's one particular event at the Bottom Line in New York that I used to play there, you know, pretty often. And yeah, boy, that was a funny one. And it's hard to explain, but it was so great. Yeah, that one better. We better wait and save that one till after the show.
Right, off the record.
Okay.
Well, and Jeff's back doing a reunion tour with the Rippingtons right now as we speak.
That's right.
And he was just at IMAC back on August 18th in up the road from WCWP in Huntington. We're talking with Dan Siegel here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. This is his return appearance. You mentioned Richard Elliott. I was going to mention that we also interviewed him in March of this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a guy that's, you know, he's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I met Richard, it was, I think, 1980 or 81, which is now. I mean, that's a quarter of a century, if you think about it. But he was in a band... what was the name of that band? I can't remember. He was they were kind of like a fusion group.
Was it Yellow Jackets?
Not the Yellow Jackets.
Because he was with them.
Briefly, he was with them, but this was before that. And before he went out on his own. Boy, I wish I could remember the name of that group. It'll come to me after I hang up the phone. But, you know, it was 1980-81, and we were playing at San Diego campus, UCSD. You know, outside, and I met Richard, and, you know, we worked together on and off for, you know, quite a few times.
And I saw Richard back in July, also at the IMAC, the Intermedia Arts Center in Huntington. He was with guitars and saxes.
All right, that thing has been through several renditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this year it was Peter White, Jeff Golub, and Richard, and also Gerald Albright.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I know he was on, because I have just about all your music, he was on The Getaway, one track at least.
Yeah, Gerald, I've worked with Gerald. Actually, we did a couple road things quite a few years back, but on and off. But I can remember, yeah, he came and, you know, he just did a one-off where he just came and played on that one track.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Well, I'll certainly know it. It was Treasure Hunt.
Right, that's right, Treasure Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wrote that tune with Brian Simpson.
Hmm.
You know, I was, who you may know, but...
I definitely know him, because we interviewed him, too. And
yeah, you know, it's funny, because I was kind of I hit a wall with that tune, and I couldn't figure out where to go. And Brian was good friends with a guitar player friend of mine. He goes, man, you got to call Brian Simpson. And I can't remember, we ran into each other, and I said, you know, because with keyboard players, usually they're the guys that write the music just because they're harmonically oriented. And
mm-hmm.
We got together, and, you know, he got me through that, the dead end that I had hit, and so we finished the tune, and that's Treasure Hunt.
Mm-hmm. And that was 13 years ago already.
My God, it's hard to believe.
Yeah. There were some other good tracks on The Getaway, but that's a story for another day. Let's talk about Departure.
Departure... It is, you know, in some ways it's a departure for me in style, just because it was done all acoustically. Brian Bromberg, who was the co-producer, he played all upright bass. Vinny Colaiuta, pretty well-known drummer.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bob Shepard, who plays saxophone.
Yes, and Bob Shepard, no relation to the Yankee Stadium public address announcer, for those of you here. So
is that his name?
That's his name, Bob Shepard. Well known. Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, really? Okay.
Dan
Siegel. I wonder if he knows that. Yeah, exactly. I'll have to share that with him next time I see him. But Lenny Castro playing percussion, and then Norman Brown plays on a tune.
Mm-hmm.
Grant Geisman plays on one song, and Bill Cantos actually sings on one song.
Ah, yes.
But the whole concept was to do an album acoustically and in sort of a, you know, you might say a traditional jazz orchestration instrumentation fashion. When you have just an upright bass instead of an electric bass, it gives it a completely different sound. The difference is, though, that it's not a straight ahead jazz record. I mean, we're not, you know, taking 10-minute solos playing standard jazz tunes.
Right. It's not like Lisa Hilton, who we had on last week, who that's basically what she's doing, straight ahead jazz. But
yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, the thing for me, from my point of view, is that's been done so many times by so many great players, and it just doesn't interest me in recording a record like that. I mean, you do have your purists, and then you have everybody else. So I've never really been in that purist category from one direction or another. And, you know, that can hurt you, you know, from the legit point of view. They say, well, you know, there's no, where's Stella by Starlight and all the things you are? And it's like, well, you know, there's been 1,000 recordings of those songs, and you can hear them played by great players. And that, to me, just it doesn't interest me. So, but this record, what it does have, it is, you know, it's a jazz trio bass.
Mm-hmm.
And so just by the nature of the orchestration, it sounds more jazzy than, say, you know, most of the other stuff that's out there in that sort of smooth jazz genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sort of falls between the cracks, and I'm perfectly happy with that because that's what I intended to do. And you know, compositionally, I'm happy with it, and, you know, couldn't have gotten any better players to do this. So that's why hence the title, Departure.
And on our show yesterday, we're recording this on August 10th, so yesterday was August 9th as we speak, and we played Street Talk, and yes, that is the single that is out there right now from you, Dan.
Yes, that's true.
But what other songs do you like on Departure?
Well, you know, I tend to go for the little more esoteric songs. One of my favorites is Mosaic, and there's something about the harmony that's intriguing to me, where usually you'll have fourths and major thirds, but you don't usually have them together, and so there's a whole basis for that track has sort of, it's a little kind of conundrum on a certain harmonic framework that's sort of the basis for that song. There's a couple of things that I like, though, on there. Across the Sea is kind of a nice tune. It features Bill Cantos singing. There's a funny story about that, because originally I was going to sing. It's just like a doubling the melody with a vocal sound. It sort of sounds like Pat Metheny, but you know, but not really.
Yeah,
he did that thing with a lot of Brazilian singers.
Okay.
So I tried to sing it, and I worked on it for about an hour and a half. And Bromberg finally just called me into the studio into the control room from the studio, and I said, "Well, what does it sound like?" And he kind of like paused and hit play, and I listened back to it and kind of went, "Oh, it's not so good." And so he said, he goes, "Bill Cantos was just here last week, and he left his hard drive here, and he's coming over right now to pick it up. Why don't we ask him to sing?" And I was like, you know, first I was like, "Well, no, I can do it." And then I realized, you know, I'd been in there for an hour and a half, and I still hadn't got it. So I said, "Okay, let's let Bill sing it." So he came in and just, like, did one pass, and the first pass was, like, 100% better than mine. So it was funny that he ended up on the record just like that.
Right. So it wasn't like the song Anytime 21 years ago or that you did.
Yeah, that was similar, but that was just a rough, never meant to make it to the final. I had to help her out. It was the opposite way, wasn't it, I guess?
Yeah, and then of course Dia was the other one I remember where you actually sang.
Yeah. Actually, there's another song on what was the song when I did it, an album with Kenny Rankin.
Oh.
And there was a song that was written by a Canadian singer and what was his name? I can't think of his name either. But it was a great tune, and I sang it, and it turned out okay, but since Kenny Rankin, of course, who's a great singer, was on the record, the guy at the record company said, you know, we can't just have you singing on one song and then Kenny singing on the rest of it. He goes, let's let Kenny sing it. And he sang it great, sang it different, but so my version, that probably took me, I don't know how many hours to do, never made it on the record. I have a copy of it somewhere. So I've sang a lot of background parts, but, you know, usually featured stuff. My voice, I like to liken my voice to somewhere in between Bob Dylan and a toilet flushing.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, you know.
That's my job.
You know, yeah, exactly. But, well, you know that old saying, the tape doesn't lie. You know, when you hear it come back and you go, what is that? You know?
Yeah. That's with me listening to air checks of my show, especially when I get to a point where I just riff and do an impression of somebody.
Right.
Like, what the hell was that?
Right.
Well, I guess that's all we need to say about Departure. Well, we only have one more question left, Dan, at least that I wrote down here on the question list. Like with Mindy Hebert said, I just got caught reading. Do you plan on doing any extensive touring in the near future, particularly... easy for me to say, to New York City or Long Island?
You know, it's a strange thing, but in the last couple of years, I've had like a variety of different agents and managers, and I'm presently without an agent and without a manager. And so, I mean, it's sort of bad timing to have a record out and not have anybody to book you. But so the few things that I do have, I've been doing myself, which is a real headache. And I have a few things on the West Coast. At this point, I have a couple dates in Florida, but not until the end of the year. And I think the end of the year, November, I'm going to South Africa and Europe as well. So I'm kind of jumping all over the place. And just because of until the touring situation gets stabilized. But, yeah, I haven't been up there to the Northeast for several years, actually. And, you know, the old days, I used to end up at you know, in New York, you know, once a year. In fact, I don't know if you guys remember, but remember the old gigs, the free gigs that they used to have right there at the World Trade Center, out on that, you know, those were, we used to do that once a year. That was a fun gig. You get like 10,000 people that would just kind of, you know, empty the office buildings as they came down there, and, you know, and it was a free gig outside, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. Of course, that isn't happening
anymore. No, and we are approaching the five-year anniversary of that horrific attack. And the day that we are recording this, there was a thwarted attack out in England, actually, and it's going to affect my... the day this is airing, August 30th, I just got back from Florida the day before, and I have no idea what I went through because I'm recording this in advance. But still, Dan, this was a pleasure once again, and thanks for stopping by. I'm sorry we had to end on such a down note, but...
Yeah, no, you know, it's like, hey, the world is a strange place these days. We just have to hang in there and be tough and, you know, onward. We have no choice.
Exactly. Well, this has been Dan Siegel here on the Mike Shamari Show for the second time, and up next we're going to play a cut from Departure, and that cut is Castles in the Sand.